said
no, that's what you've been programmed to believe, that they were all, Brian, your understanding, listen, and we're in it, your understanding of history is so wrong.
Well, I read
you think
it.
You, well, you're like monkey make fire. Yeah, it's all wrong. The cavemen never existed. There were no dinosaurs. Okay, it's all a lie.
Yeah. Wait, you don't think there were dinosaurs?
There was no dinosaurs. Those were Nephilim giants from the Bible.
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes.
Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic.
I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell.
Chicken, snake gods, and the Anunnaki, and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing. Conspiracy Social Club, AKA Deepwaters.
Welcome to Conspiracy Social Club, AKA Deepwaters, AKA Highway to the Danger Zone.
Touchy subject.
Hey, buddy. Somebody came in hot.
I want to dish truth. I want to dish L's. And be careful. Well, be careful about bringing up any subject, because I am brimming with information.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something.
But the question is always on the show, is it the correct information?
Well, I'll tell you what is correct information.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere near Florida, if you're in that long state.
Yeah.
I'm at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida.
Oh, wow. Do you like have a residency there? I feel like you've been there every other week.
I love it. Naples, Florida. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Captain Brian, doing good stuff.
Good, man. Comedy Zone, after that, let's go. Comedy Zone, I got to see you out there, because I'm going to be doing, that's in Charlotte, North
Carolina. Where's Comedy Zone and where?
Charlotte, North Carolina, okay. Bringing in the new year.
All right.
Then Mic Drop Comedy Club, January 4, 5, and 6. I just don't stop.
You really? I mean, weren't we talking about that the other day? How this guy just doesn't stop.
City Lights.
Oh,
you're
shit.
You're going to be at Cleveland in Hilarities?
Yeah, I got West Hills this week. I do my 1 hour of spiritual ranting. It's a new show I do. I put it on Rockfin. And then I do Cleveland, Ohio, Pottstown, PA, and then I'm in Pittsburgh. Then at the end of the month, I'm in at one of my favorite comedy clubs, the Comedy Vault. And new dates are coming up, and we just booked a date together. I feel like I have to remind you. I'm going to have to remind you every
February
week.
February 23rd.
Yes.
Bakersfield.
Now, do you want to do the 24th? No, don't worry about it.
Let's see how we sell. City Lights. Why do you keep saying that?
I moved through space with minimum waste and maximum joy. And that's a Sade song.
Do you know what the ether is? I finally figured it out.
What's that?
The ether is the free energy in which we helps us move through everything.
The ether was the was.
Dude, what if this is water?
Well, the early scientists who couldn't figure some things out said
no. That's what you've been programmed to believe, that they were all, Brian. Your understanding. Listen, and we're in it. Your understanding of history is so wrong.
Well, I read.
You think?
Well,
you, you're like monkey. Make fire. Yeah, it's all wrong. Cavemen never existed. There were no dinosaurs. Okay, it's all a lie.
Yeah. Wait, you don't think there were dinosaurs?
There was no dinosaurs. Those were Nephilim giants from the Bible.
So the Bible's true, but science is not?
I look into make-believe.
Thank you. So paleontology is all, it's just a made-up.
It's all
science.
Bullshit.
Yeah. And carbon-14 dating, that's bullshit.
Man, that might be real, but dinosaurs
real.
Are not
Wait,
real.
That might be
hey,
real?
Brian, let me that ask you something. Brian, let me ask you something. When you go to the museum, do you see dinosaur bones?
You do, yeah.
No, you don't, Brian. Those are plaster. No. That's not real dinosaurs.
Sam, if I may.
No.
If I may.
Okay.
Sam, scientists everywhere in the world, including non-scientists, find fossils.
Who are non-scientists? My three-year-old children?
Oh, people who are in, you know, for example, when I was in Saudi Arabia, one of our favorite things to do, Saudi hasn't been underwater for a long time. I don't know if you know that, especially Riyadh. It's a plateau. Hold. As a kid, I'm just saying. As a kid.
I hate it.
As a kid, we would go.
It's just not cool.
As a kid, we would go to the escarpment. It's called the escarpment. And my favorite thing to do as a kid was I would be in the driest place on the planet, And we'd look, and I was a bit of a amateur paleontologist.
Yeah.
And I would look and find fossils and
seashells. Does this story end with you being molested?
Well, I found fossils and seashells, which says that area was underwater at one time.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, Brian.
So so I found fossils of creatures that don't exist anymore. And that was me.
Yeah.
I don't think I was a scientist at 11, yeah. but I certainly wanted to be.
Okay, fine.
So Sam, the point is that there were dinosaurs. And,
no, there weren't.
And also Sam,
those are Nephilim
giants. We know that science does move forward, and I'll tell you why. Ready for this?
No, hold on, dude. Did you just write that? Dude, listen, what you did right there is so ridiculously damaging to the show.
What did I do?
You looked up something and said, most dinosaur bones in the museum are real.
Well,
it's not true.
Well, of course they are.
At all, Dylan.
Of course they
are. That is not true. Just because some idiot wrote it on the internet.
Sam, it's not true. Sam, you're
Dylan.
Talking. Sam,
you are wrong.
Sam, you're talking.
You owe me an apology.
But Sam, you don't know anything about that.
For Christmas, I want an apology.
You know nothing about dinosaurs, paleontology.
Yeah, I do, Brian.
You know,
I've done many shows on
it. You know less
than nothing.
I've
done more shows on dinosaurs than you
have. With people who don't know anything about dinosurs.
Don't know anything. It's their whole job. That's what they do.
No, it's not.
That's what they do.
You've never spoken a paleontologist in your life.
Brian, most of the bones, if not every bone in the museum is not a dinosaur bone.
And Sam, cavemen don't exist either. Worst take ever! Sam Tripoli! With no evidence, he just goes, it's not true, because he saw a couple of videos on YouTube with other people who don't know anything about paleontology or science or anything.
Okay.
Worst take ever. Now, Sam,
you will all be apologizing to me, just so you know.
No,
yes.
We won't be.
But go on with whatever you're going to talk about.
Sam, with you is that science works. We use it every day.
Yeah.
We the food you eat that you get every day without thinking
about it. It's full of chemicals, right.
But the food that you eat, the reason you've never been hungry, the supply chain, the growing of said food.
Brian.
That's all science.
Brian's biggest
it's all science. Thing
is everything goes back to
it's all science. How do you keep aphids from eating your fruits and vegetables? I mean, I'm just talking about aphids now. That's all I'm talking about.
Are you fat shaming him?
Yeah, hey!
Well,
I lost some weight up until this weekend.
I like to hide an insult. It's a two-tier insult.
Hey, I'm working out more than ever.
Yeah. Sam, I know that, and you look great.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
it. Nice smile on you.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's not bring up viruses, dinosaurs,
that's
or cavemen.
I'm totally down with that.
Because you don't know anything. Now, do you think we came from apes or no?
That's
a question I have.
No.
I will say this. I saw something cool.
I think we came from Anunnaki who spliced DNA into monkeys and made us.
Yep.
No, actually, I don't even believe that. I think God created us and the Anunnaki came and then they created lizard people to manage us.
Yep. Well, I'm really curious about, I do think that there were different kinds of hominids, like, right, apes and things like that. But here's my question. I saw something really interesting.
I'm here for it.
I think it was Robert Penrose who was talking about a certain mathematician.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's this idea, well, we're going to have smart computers and they'll be like humans, right? So meaning there's an algorithm. So everything we think in a very complex algorithm.
Yeah.
So in other words, when you arrive at a conclusion, you could kind of like back engineer how we arrived at that conclusion.
Okay, I like that.
Right? But Penrose said something, I mean, who was it? It was the guy who said, you can prove certain theorems. So you can know certain things are true mathematically that can't be proved with an algorithm. Okay, so in other words, there are certain principles that you can deduce, I guess, from that to arrive at a truth. So you can there are certain mathematical equations that are the case that you can actually apply to real life situations. So we know that the mathematical equation checks out.
Okay.
Okay. But you can't prove it using math. So you can't prove it's true. You can't prove it's true using the algorithm. You can't back engineer it. It's a really weird thing to come to conclusion of. And what that means is this. Some things are true without being mathematical. Some things we know are true, even mathematicians are true, mathematically, that can't be proved mathematically.
Okay.
Which is really a fucking crazy profound thing.
Okay.
And so he then deduced the fact that human consciousness and thinking is more than math and an algorithm. There's something else going on.
Yeah.
And it's beyond math.
Yeah.
It's something that we can't even come close to explaining.
So, Brian,
I think that's very interesting. Because
yeah, I think it's interesting.
Now you're talking about God in a way, right?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
So if you go back through the history of the show, why have I dominated so hard?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why have I been so right and you've been so wrong?
Right.
Because
right.
I have a soul, okay? And I listen to my soul and I go with my soul's feel. My soul says, this, my soul, or as some people might want to call it, your spider senses, right? It tells me danger, Tripoli. This doesn't make sense. And I go, okay, soul, I'm listening. And then I go, oh, I start to study it. And I go, oh, I've seen this playbook before. So that's why I'm right so much.
Well,
because
I'm gonna listen to my soul. I'm going
to
double down on that because I had a conversation with my wife about why we love you so much. And my wife, you're one of my wife's favorite people.
At what point? Was this like at the kitchen table or while making love?
After I'd finished gifting her my essence.
Oh, damn, bro. Yeah, yeah, that's the best time.
Gifting her my
pillow
essence.
Talk. Thank you, guys. Yes. I love you, too. I love you, too.
Yes. And, but she loves you, and she doesn't suffer fools, and she doesn't like a lot of people. And what we were talking about was that you are truly in communion with the best side of yourself. You know, you are in touch with that side of yourself that's as deep and as loving as it gets. You just can't help but be on the side of truth.
Thank you, buddy.
And there is a purity to you that I love, and it's why you don't really want anything for yourself. You hate having anything.
I hate it.
You only want everybody else to have stuff.
I got invited to 6 Christmas parties. I only went to one.
Yeah, but that's a saintly quality. You have a holy man in you.
Thank you, I'm not joking.
Thank you, Mike. And so you're what happens, I think, with you is in a meta sense, you're right. In a meta sense, you're right about everything. In a practical, mathematical, micro sense, I'm right. So you'll say, I don't believe in dinosaurs, or I don't believe in evolution.
Right.
And I go like this. I go, yeah. Well, there's a lot of ways to prove that evolution is true. Okay. However, okay, it's true within a smaller realm.
Okay.
But if you start talking about the bigger realm, it may not be. Evolution may be true within, it may be a truth within a larger truth.
Right.
It doesn't mean God doesn't exist.
Right.
See, Darwin came along and said there's a design without a designer. This happened by accident, right. Mathematically.
Right.
But the romantics and the people that were religious, but also very smart, like yourself said, hold on. You're not about to explain this fantastic, insane, infinite misery, a mystery called humanity.
Yeah.
Or just called existence with your... little theory here that you can prove, you can point to, and it does have use. It has medical use. It is there for a reason. So you can have truth with a small t, and then you have truth with a capital T. And you're always dealing with truth with a capital T. Because you go like this. No, I got this faith in me. I got this feeling in me. I have this communion that I see once in a blue moon that I know is truth. I don't know where it comes from with you, but you have something in you where you are deeply good and you truly believe, you just believe in justice and truth, like in a real sense. You do. You can't help yourself. You cannot help yourself. And and the minute you see somebody attacking that, you fucking can't take it. Yeah. You're religious.
The wood gypsy agrees.
So fair.
So fair.
Now, he still doesn't know anything.
Hey, let him do this.
You're right. I like getting sucked off. It feels good. You're right.
But let
You're
me right. just say so.
That. We can't have that.
Let me say
He's
this.
Still
let
wrong,
me say
though.
This.
He's still right. He can tell you how to get to the moon.
Come on.
Not to fucking, not
no,
to the bathroom.
Brian, you're just right? so off.
He's got
you're
asthma.
So off. Perfect. You're so off. It's just super, yeah, I agree with you. It's almost like, I just find it so funny because like, can everything be explained through science? Everything.
No.
And that to me is like my belief in like the difference between like the hermetic principles, right? And then the laws of physics.
But you know, there's a whole group of people like Stephen Meyer who are trying to prove the existence of God with science. And they do it in a really interesting way, which is they go, God exists because we have a mind that wants to understand the universe and is aware that we can't. So you can start to look at that. And everything is code. We know everything is code.
Yeah.
It's been coded.
Yeah.
It's not random.
Yeah.
Who coded it?
Right.
Who the fuck coded it, guys?
Yeah, I'm with you. And it just gets so, I think this notion, it's very funny to me how like faith in God is mocked by some, but those who mock that faith have just blinding faith in science, meaning they'll read a title of an article from Science Digest and be like, we've discovered black holes, blah, blah, blah. And they just buy it hook, line, and sinker. And that is the word to them.
Yeah, but see, black holes may exist. And no, they but may that's be not very my useful. Point. Yeah.
But Brian, right? So like, if you go, Sam, why do you believe in God? Well, what? I've always believed God, but why do I have a really strong faith right now? Mm. Well, because when I apply these principles that I've learned through spirituality to my life, my soul, my vibration goes up. Mm-hmm. And when I go the opposite way of that, when I do things that maybe I know I shouldn't be, drugs, alcohol, pornography, I get farther from God and my vibrations go down lower, right? And I feel it. I feel, it's like in sex addiction, they always go, do you feel like somewhat guilty after this act you performed? And and that's like kind of me going, okay, I'm getting farther from God, right? Like when, if I watch porn, when I know I don't want to watch pornography anymore, but I'm bored and I've done everything. So I watch it, and then afterwards I'm like,
See, that's how I feel. Like, that's so interesting you say that. Two nights ago. And I was like, I don't watch porn. I don't watch porn. But I went to see, I was like,
wait, what are my friends doing?
I'm going to watch. Let me see what's going on.
Let's see what my friends are doing.
And immediately I saw this porn. And goddamn, there are some good looking people out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jesus, there are some people that if you want to get into that.
By the way, did you notice he didn't say women, but he said people?
Oh, well, men and women.
Yeah. Brian, like, it's okay. I love you for
not
you.
Not that I was watching Blacked or anything, but, but it's like the best people I've ever seen.
I love the honesty on this show. And we're gypsies seen, gay.
He's not being honest. Were you watching Blacked?
Well, of course. But the point is, I saw the biggest piece I've ever seen in my life. And my wife yesterday was wrapping Christmas presents, and she's in her moo-moo, and I go, you got to see this. She goes, I'm wrapping Christmas presents. Get that shit away from me.
Oh, you shared. That's love right there, Brian. That is probably the most loving thing I've ever seen in my life.
I got a
that piece. You share interracial pornography with your loving wife.
I have a piece on me. I do pretty well, but this guy, I've never seen. I was like, what? And he was a good-looking, kind of muscular. I was like, what is this?
Brian, how I know that you're going to have a long relationship, because most men would hide that. And that becomes something that could fester.
Well, see, my larger point is that I didn't watch it. And the reason I really
okay,
didn't.
We had honesty. Now we don't have honesty.
So what happened
was, you looked at the big piece, didn't see it go to work?
No. So when I was alone on Saturday, I was like, I'm 56. And I'm about to watch porn, and I'm probably going to jerk off. And I go, what happened to me? Because I'm kind of getting into the spiritual realm as well. Is I went, I looked at these two people, and I went, and I looked at Pornhub in general, and I went, this is vibrating at a very low level.
Yes.
And I used to vibrate there.
Yes.
Like I understand.
It's the spiritual versus the material.
Yeah, and you're also worshiping that. That is your God. So your God, the God of the erection.
Yes.
You know, is your God.
Yes.
And so I was watching, I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this because I can, I'm just older. And I was looking at these people, and I said to myself, you know what I said? I go, I hope that they evolve to a point where they realize this is vibrating at a low point.
Yes.
They're not doing good things to themselves. It's not about what they're doing out there. It's what they're doing to themselves.
Yes.
And I'm sorry to sound like a complete fucking donut this way, but when you get older, and if you keep trying to get to this higher truth, this idea, you will understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I totally
agree. I'm not saying that, you know, it's really hard not to jerk off. It's really not hard not to look when you've got this high level porn.
Yeah.
With the best looking people. Yeah. And they're going to give you anything you want.
Yeah.
I don't think you get away with that. I don't think it's good for you.
Yeah.
And for reasons that I don't want to go into, because it's, you would have to just experience what I'm saying. And you understand what I'm saying.
I do agree with everything you're saying.
You vibrate.
Do you get closer to God? Do you get farther from God? And it, like this kind of like guilt you have after is like, that is the universe telling you that this is probably not the best thing you could do. Like there's different forms of messages from the universe. Like, I think depression, anxiety, sadness, like these, this is the universe telling you like you're on the wrong path. But in our modern culture, how do we deal with that? We go to a therapist, we say, well, I'm sad. And then they're like, here, take these drugs and numb yourself out and continue down this fucking path. Like
instead of doing,
you going, I'm looking at this giant black piece right there. And normally I'd be like, let's watch this do some damage. And then I realize that that does not fill the God hole in my soul, even though it's big enough to fill the God hole. But
I know that's it. So we had Adam 22 on, and he was talking about this. Sky Bree or
yeah,
Bree Sky?
I'm just,
what's her name? Sky.
That guy vibrates on such a low level, bro.
Well, I don't know anything about, he seemed very,
we know that there's, very, we got about 200-300 episodes of that.
He seemed very nice. He seemed like he's in a place where he is, and you know, he's doing whatever he's doing, but. He was talking about this girl, Sky Bree or Bree Sky, that he brought up, who's the best looking girl I've ever seen. She
is gorgeous.
And I looked at her and I remember I was thinking to myself, I she's as perfect as it gets. I don't want to see her do anything like that.
And you know what's so funny about that, Brian? I don't want to see it, man. There's some stuff that like, she is so attractive that she should be attracting like CEOs.
That's right.
And like, or just D1 athletes.
Or just having the perfect person.
No. Like there's a reason God made. And by doing what she's doing, she's bringing in low vibrational people.
Apparently she quit. Apparently she's not doing it anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
which
like,
is good.
Like, and I think you can't listen. I have a lot of porn star friends. I think that it's so funny. Like I used to know, I used to be friends with Belladonna, who is on the Mount Rushmore.
It's my favorite.
One of the greatest. My B-hole is haunted. One of the greatest productions of all time. Okay.
Amazing.
She used to do the Naughty Show all the time. And like, I always say the Naughty Show was ahead of its time, but it was also different than what we're seeing on YouTube right now, which is like, I never glorified them. It was more about, you're a real outlaw. Tell me about your life. Like, it was more about this, like, these people live on the fringe. Like, what's that like? Now it's like trying to mainstream it. And I think it's a dangerous game that young women in particular do not understand what they're getting into. And it's like they're mistaking like infamy, which is, I'm sorry, if you're a porn star, are you famous? Maybe. Are you infamous? 100%. And those are two different vibrational things, right? So you have these girls now doing this, and this Bree girl who is like as perfect as you could get.
She's so beautiful.
And now because she's doing this, did this low vibrational stuff, she has limited the amount of mates, male mates you can make, like high end earners that want to date that person. So now what you're letting in is low vibrational people. And you start to live in this low vibe. And I have this theory, Brian, that whatever phase women get pregnant in is the phase they're in for the rest of their life, right? So if they're in their band phase and they get knocked up by a guy in a band, they're always hanging around with bands, right? If you get knocked up by, you're in your black guy phase, you're always in that, you hang out with black guys all the time. You know, so whatever phase you get knocked up in is the phase you tend to stay in. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. If you allow these, and listen, I was the lowest of low vibrations. Like I was in Motel 6 with shady people doing shady shit because I was really lost in my disease, right? I talk about times I got kicked out of the hotel that I was paying for because I was the weirdest guy in the room. They're like, dude, you're creeping us out. Get the fuck out of here, right? I'm like, I'm like, wow. Because in recovery, they talk about lower companions. And I hate that term because they're not lower companions. You are engaging with them in that low vibe. So you guys are all together. So
that's how I feel about it too. I don't like looking at a porn star and saying, well, you're lower than somebody.
No, I don't believe
that. What I do is I go, we all have that in us. Everybody. Like all of us have that in us. We have a porn star, we have a saint, we have a sinner, we have a saint, we have about 1,000 things in us. So I don't ever like saying, well, you're here and I'm over here. I'm older. I always say I've made more mistakes and spent more time chasing the wrong things.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So yeah. I know how that turns out.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
And so now when I see that and I see someone who's doing this stuff, I hope and I believe you will understand that there's a higher vibration.
Yes. Yeah, and you can't, I mean, like,
no,
you're not.
No, no big deal.
It's very weird. Like, you aren't defined by your past, but that is part of what defines you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes.
I've also had people say what saved my marriage was porn. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that porn and people that do porn don't serve a certain function sometimes, because there's that side of us. But I'm not going to be a hypocrite here.
Okay. What are you doing? You're pressing buttons. Okay. Do we got any conspiracies?
Do you
get
think
into?
There's any conspiracy to porn?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, we've been fucking around. I'm sorry.
No, dude.
Pornhub in a while.
Pornhub is CIA.
Pornhub is CIA.
100%.
Hold on. There we go.
Well, hold on.
Jesus.
Pornhub is CIA.
Yeah.
But porn is something that is a multi-billion-dollar business because people want it. So
yeah, my favorite part is like porn got so popular that they ran real like commercials. Like I saw an F-150 commercial and like before a interracial gangbang video, right? It's like dude, it's getting millions of views. They want them. So what are you
thinking then?
Well, Pornhub was free. It was the quickest website to 50 million visitors or subscribers than any other website ever. It was the quickest one to that. And what Pornhub does is like it gives you what you want, and then it makes these suggestions that take you deeper, and next thing you know, you're watching trans porn. You're like, what am I doing here, right? You know?
Dude, I found this crazy thing.
Okay, so, but also, Brian, there's also some very much darker stuff too. Is that
evidence the CIA created Pornhub.
So listen to me. So what's also crazy, Brian?
Sam Tripoli on the Tinfoil Podcast keeps saying the CIA created Pornhub, and I can't find anything.
Oh, wow, it's out there.
Please give me a link.
Well, I'll tell you this: is that evil. So funny?
Evil.
That's so funny. But if you really study it, right? Like, why is it free? Like, so when we know this, Brian, when something's free, you're the product, okay? And they're giving away all this free stuff. They hire the most expensive lawyer. So if you sue Pornhub for stealing your thing, you got to deal with the best of the best lawyers, right? So what Pornhub does is it starts putting like some like kind of questionable videos on there, and they've gotten in trouble for it. Like, you know, sexual assaults are on there when they beg to be, the people in there beg them to take it down, all this stuff, questionable age stuff. But you're like, why is it on there? Well, what's really interesting, it's a giant honeypot. They study who's commenting on these videos, who's watching these videos, right? Now, I'm going to go to a place where Brian doesn't want to go to, but everything is data, bro. Everything is data.
It's true.
So they start studying data, and they start studying who's watching these super young videos, right? Like where it's questionable. They start the people.
And they follow that. I like that.
Who are you? What are you? Oh, do you have political aspirations? We're watching your stuff. Oh, are you thinking about running? Are you in the Democratic Party? Are you in the Republican Party? Hey, man, what if we can get this guy into a position where we know what his like weak spot is, and position him into that, which is what Epstein was on a very bigger scale.
100%.
I love that.
Well, if you were FBI or something like that, and you're responsible for child something awful like child pornography or whatever, you're gonna follow those. You're gonna follow those leads. Guys who are into really young. Oh, you're into that. Okay, let me see what else you're into.
What do you think about these? These Instagram accounts and YouTube accounts, Twitter accounts, where they go after these guys?
I think if you're catching pedophiles, I'm all about it.
Yeah. I mean, when you study these guys, they're all like just wrecked. Like the guys that they catch, they're all beta cuck. They're super wrecked. Like it's so, it's like.
I don't know. I can't watch that stuff.
Yeah.
I get a little
What do you think about Florida? That with the law they just passed, this guy they just busted, who's engaging in it and filming it, is up possibly for the death penalty.
Again, if you're killing pedophiles, you're not going to see me out on the street protesting with a sign.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything more evil.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you can put him in jail with general population, see how that works out for him. You know, so even prisoners of the worst kind can't stand for people that hurt children. And so, now there are a lot of professors and scientists who are like, look, this is neurological. This is something they can't help. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. If it's something you can't help, put yourself down like a sick dog. I don't give a fuck what you're, I'm not interested in helping people like in the way you think. I want them removed from society. If you think the death penalty is inhumane, that's all right. Then just put them away though. It's like, if you kidnap a child or you did something to a child like that, I don't believe in a 10-year sentence. I believe that you never get out.
Yeah, Rogan had a joke about that, about, he used to kids and now he doesn't. Like, no, dude.
No, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah, and listen, we understand also the psychological damage, not just physical harm that does, but the psychological damage it does to somebody. You basically make it impossible for them to live a normal life after that.
Of course.
So what else we got?
All right, let's stay on the God train.
Yes! Choo-choo! Oh, you're going to love this, Brian. When I saw this, I go, Brian's going to love this.
Is the first letter in Torah. If you go every 50 letters in the book of Genesis, you will get the spelling of Torah. If you go to Exodus, if you go every 50 letters, you get the spelling of Torah. If you skip Leviticus and go to Numbers, you go every 49 letters and you get Torah spelled backwards. And if you go to Deuteronomy, every 49 letters, you get Torah spelled backwards. Why? They're both pointing to Leviticus. In Leviticus, every 7 letters, you will get the spelling of Yahweh. YHVH. Every 7 letters throughout the entire book of Leviticus, because Leviticus shows it would take the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to atone our sins. I mean, that's amazing.
Is that true?
Yeah, why would he lie?
I'd have to see if that numerology is true. Because numerology is tricky. You can mess with numerology.
But that's not numerology.
Yeah, but
there's no numbers in that.
So I plugged it into a character counter. And it's just iffy because, there are different versions of the Bible. Uh-huh. Are we using commas? I know he said letters specifically, but I
will say this. If you look at the Israelites and how when they were in the desert, when you look at the camp to the north, the camp to the south, the camp to the east and the camp to the west, they camped out like that. It forms a cross if you count it. So that's kind of interesting.
I find it interesting. I've been doing what?
What
so
is that?
This is an article confirming the pattern that guy was talking about.
Dude.
That's pretty incredible.
So, Brian, have you ever...
That's crazy.
Have you ever heard the theory that basically, like, there's two... I've heard two crazy theories. One, that basically the Bible is like an AI. Is written in AI style, right? And then the other one is very weird. Just that the Bible is almost like the storyline of this simulation, and that the simulation is basically running off the storyline of the book.
Yeah.
Therefore, because I have a friend of mine named El Dorado. Well, that's his nickname. His name Tony Dorado. in college, he got very religious. To this day, he still celebrates it. Like, he says that the day of rest is not Sunday, it's actually Friday.
Yeah.
And they break it down, and he doesn't leave his house, and his family does it. And I've thought about quitting comedy and just starting to do the day of rest. I'm really getting the 12 commandments. I'm trying really hard. Because the rule, he says, as long as you have God above all, Jesus in your heart, and you follow 12 commandments, you can get into heaven. Wait. Okay?
Hold on. Did you say 12 commandments?
10 commandments, excuse me.
Oh, 10.
10. So, hey, bud, people make mistakes. Well, I'm functionally illiterate, but
that's a big mistake.
That's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I know it's a huge mistake, and I just cleaned it up.
That's really, really bad.
Yeah. Well, it's not really, really bad. It's not really bad.
No, it's a grave.
And I'm sure that at some point there were 12, and they just got rid of two and just said, let's just go. It's a grave era. It's a grave era?
Why are there 12 people on a jury? Do you know why?
Why?
Because there were, here's the question. Was it because there were 12 tribes of Israel or 12 disciples?
I don't know.
12 disciples. Can you look that up?
No, did you just make that up?
I believe you.
No.
How come you just believe what he says and then you have to research what I say?
Well, because that sounded like absolute bullshit.
No, because you have no Lord in your life, bro.
That's not true.
You have no Lord in your life.
He has a tattoo of the god Pan.
So Brian, I just want to say, do you really?
On his back.
You have Pan on your back.
No, but Pan is very important to me as a child. We won't get into it.
You really are a wood gypsy. Unbelievable, bro.
He's got an impossible erection, and he's got the hindquarters of a goat.
What do you mean he's got an impossible erection?
Pan? Pan's got a... Bring up Pan.
Yeah.
The god Pan.
You really are a wood gypsy. So, Brian... So my buddy El Dorado, he got super religious. He would tell me all this stuff. And literally before he was telling me the story about basically how 9/11 was going to happen, before 9/11, right? So he told me about the EU forming, before the EU formed. He brought up us all this stuff. So now he's been telling me that basically what's going to happen is the EU is going to step in to the Israel-Palestine situation and be kind of the security force.
I know we'd moved on, but...
See the hindquarters of a goat there? He's got...
That was tattooed on your back, bro?
No,
he wants it, though.
No, I don't want that.
You want to get this rock-hard dude with horns and hoofs?
Crazy hard dong.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Hard dong all the time.
Hard dong. He runs with a hard dong all the time. I have erections for long times. It's very weird.
If you looked like that, if you were that muscular and you had the hindquarters of a goat and you had horns, you know how many girls would be all over you and you had a piece like that?
Yeah.
Girls would, if you...
They would only have sex with you in cemeteries, though. That's the only problem.
They what?
They'd only fuck in cemeteries.
They would fuck you in the forest. And yeah. Keep her safe in the forest and she would be a nymph.
So, Brian, so I just want to put that out. That's that. And I think what we're seeing in Gaza right now is getting... incredibly close to that.
Well, there does seem to be something. Oh, well, he's having sex with a goat.
And so
do you have that tattooed on your back?
What I'm attempting to do is bring the pictures up before you guys can really get into Israel Gaza, because
we're not going to.
But think about
I send you other stuff. What else we got?
Made that statue forever ago.
Yeah.
People have always been wild. That was the equivalency of porn. You didn't let your kids see that statue. And that thing is
but by the way, imagine working on that every day and then revealing it to everybody.
Amazing. They definitely fucking stoned him. Yeah, but you could say that Palestine or Israel-Gaza is... this is nothing new to the Bible. The Old Testament's been... This has been going on forever.
It's kind of crazy. What else do we got?
Brian, are you aware of Operation Condor?
Yeah, I've read, I think, something about Operation Condor. Let me see if I can remember something about it.
Okay.
Does it date back to the 70s?
It does.
Yeah.
Brian, real quick, as you're talking, I'm just going to grab this bell.
Operation Condor.
Yeah.
I think, what was it? Did it have something to do with our listening in on Soviet spies?
No.
No. Oh, it might have been, hold on.
Right now, Brian is just like, he's looking at the wall when, like, when you write a script, you have all these plot points, sure. and he's is just it, trying. CIA, jungle,
is it an assassination program, or is it a psychedelic program?
Former
assassination program.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's bring it up and let me see what we can do.
Why do you have that cadence?
Yeah, why do you have that cadence?
I know that, I am very aware that the CIA has done things that are...
No, you have not been aware of that. You've actually pushed back on it very hard.
Sure. yeah. Oh, that's true, 100%.
Are you going to read it?
So, Operation was a United States-backed campaign of political repression, state terrorism involving intelligence operations, CIA-backed coups, as well as assassinations of left-wing leaders in South America, which formerly existed... From 75 to 83. This is 100% true. Operation Condor was officially and formally implemented in November 1975 by the right-wing dictatorships of the Southern Cone of South America. Due to its clandestine nature, the precise number of deaths directly attributed to Operation Condor is highly disputed. Some estimates are that at least 60,000 deaths can be attributed to Condor, with up to 30,000 of these in Argentina. That's right. Which was Argentina... Pinochet, or was that, Chile? I think Chile was Pinochet. Yeah, but who was in charge? They assassinated Allende. Allende was the opposition to that, and there's no doubt that the CIA,
Videla,
yeah, did a lot of killing.
Yeah,
with the help of the military dictatorships of South America, and they killed not just. And so what you have to understand is the CIA would give the names to the death squads and military intelligence apparatuses that we trained and armed in South America. So we would say this teacher over here, this teacher is teaching, you know, Marxist ideology to kids or to these students. Or these student leaders are dyed-in-the-wool leftists. And what they would do is they would take them. The CIA would just go, it's just we've been listening in with our devices. Might want to take a look at these guys. And those, knowing full well that the militaries would take them. They would put them in a dungeon with water up to your ankles, and they would electrocute the water. And they would just get you to be like, oh, fuck, this really sucks. Now, you do that for 3 days. That really sucks. Or how about this? They would get the women... who were involved in this, or the men, and they would put you in on your hands and knees, shackle you, and they'd bring in giant schnauzers, and they would have the schnauzers rape you. And that was a fact. Or I can keep going.
A lot of bestiality on this show today.
Oh, I can keep going.
But
if you were a real problem, they would take a rubber mask, and they would paint it with rat poison, and they'd put it on your face, and you'd breathe it. And what that does is after 3 days or whatever, you go crazy permanently. So you leave that dungeon like a babbling idiot on the street. So there's no doubt that human beings can come up with amazing ways to destroy you. But let's not forget also that in Chile, under the Pinochet regime, they would just throw you out of a plane. They would shoot you out with something that stopped your heart and then throw you out of the plane.
Yep.
And you'd be in the middle of the ocean somewhere and you'd never be heard from again. So that happened to about 3,000 to 6,000 people that disappeared.
Yep.
Here's my question to everybody. That was, in many ways, in South America, there was an insurgency going on, a left-wing insurgency, in some ways a low-grade civil war, in some grades a not-so-low-grade civil war between left and right. The left was being supported by the Soviets. The right was being supported by the Americans. And there was one side was going to win. And if you look at Chile, if you look at Argentina, if you look at these countries, they are now doing pretty well. They're messy democracies, but they have the bones of democracy. And economically, they're doing way better than, say, Venezuela, countries that turn socialist. So people justify these things by saying, if it wasn't us, believe me, the leftists would have killed us. You know, so when you see this, when you see the military regime or the people that were for capitalism or the people that were making money, they go, we're going to get, I'm not excusing this. I'm saying that to them, they were like, the left here is galvanizing. They're arming themselves like the Sandinistas did. And we're in a war. And they're going to kill us if we don't kill them. And that's what happens. That's what happens when two ideologies are born. It's tough, right?
I don't. I just think divide and conquer so you can take up all the natural resources. And
well, it's also,
that's
it's
what
also
I'm just saying. It's the whether we're talking Latin America, Africa, you know, parts of Asia, we just are. And it upsets me because I don't think. Listen, obviously America does it, but I don't think it's the American people. And this is a part of capitalism that I think like Wood Gypsy would push against, where it's like, okay, you love capitalism. Well, what about the destabilization of these other countries to steal their natural resources? I love capitalism in that I can create a product, a business, and see if you can compete in a marketplace of ideas. And the person with the best business tends to win. Yeah. That part of capitalism I like. Yeah. The part of capitalism I don't like is going to other countries, banana republicing them, and just stealing all their natural resources, using our children as
here's my only issue with that. So take North Korea, Singapore, Japan after the war, and then take the Philippines as an example. Take the Philippines, and for that matter, even India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
And those countries had very, very strong anti-Western sentiments that kept that Western influence, Western investment out because of that, right? They were like, you're not going to turn us. You're not going to do to us what you did to Nicaragua and things like that, right? And what's the irony there is that when the other countries allowed all that foreign investment, they went poor for a while, but their standard of living is way higher now than, say, the Philippines. Because the Philippines made the mistake, and so did a lot of countries in Africa, of saying, we don't want your Western influence here because you guys are going to exploit us. The problem was it then opened them up to a different ideology, which was communism and socialism. And that's when the Soviets and China and just themselves came in and
said, but Brian, so it is well documented that like France has assassinated like 27.
No, I'm not saying the French
to destabilize.
Yeah. Well, not just to destabilize, also to say, hey, this guy is a socialist. This guy's a communist. He's trying to come in, and there's going to be a revolution, and we're not going to be able to do business here, or whatever. Yeah, and they were killed. But what I'm just trying to say is that in the countries that did allow foreign investment, their standard of living, they're now doing pretty amazing versus the other countries.
All right, so what do we got here, dude?
This is a wild interview.
I mean, this is like, it's just crazy to me that anybody thinks this guy is anything other than evil.
Well, he shorted the British pound, right? Isn't that what he did?
Yeah, we can.
He just bet against it.
He shorted tons of currencies.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean just because one guy shorts a currency doesn't mean the whole world's like, oh no. Like he was just, he said, he looked at their economy. He's like the British economy. He's like, I'm going to short it. I don't think it's worth what they're saying it's worth.
Yeah.
And he took positions against it.
We should.
And he made a fortune.
Play the video.
Play the clip so people know what we're talking about.
For years you've been blamed for financial collapse of Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Japan, and Russia.
All of the above.
Yeah. Are you that powerful?
No, I think there's a great misunderstanding. I am basically there to make money. I cannot and do not look at the social consequences of what I do. As a competitor, I've got to compete to win. As a human being, I am concerned about the society in which I live.
Which George Soros am I talking to now? The amoral George Soros or the moral George Soros?
It's one person who at one time engages in amoral activities and that the rest of the time tries to be moral. Your last.
So can I just give, because I looked at that and sent it to some people. And so when you're doing business, I think what he's talking about there is that he saw that this country was making big, big gambles with their currency and that their currency was jacked up artificially. And he was like, this currency is not worth this because I'm looking at their GDP, okay. I'm looking at their trade practices, I'm looking at their economy, I'm looking at how they do business. And they don't, this is, I would not bet on this country. So what he does, like anybody can, is he takes a strong position against it. Now, when you do that as George Soros and you have a reputation for good investment practices. In other words, you're on the winning side typically of the gamble.
Right.
A lot of other people go, hey, Soros is betting against us. What does he know that we don't know? Because he's kind of a wizard that way.
Right.
So all of a sudden the market goes, hey, did you see what Soros did? I'm taking his position. I want to jump on the back of that guy.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you get this.
Yeah, I understand.
So I think what he's talking about there is I'm amoral in terms of this is the marketplace. I don't give a fuck. You know, I'm looking at the reality and I'm going to bet against this fucking country. Right, that's kind of, I think that is something. And he made a fortune doing that.
Right.
He made a fortune. So that's just a guy who says, I don't think the pound's worth this. And you guys are all saying it's worth this. And I say bullshit.
But there's a lot about George Soros that isn't good. And the notion
he's got a very left-wing sort of like ideology.
Well, he's a destroyer of worlds.
Well, he also, you know, believe it or not, you know, Sam, you may have more in common with George Soros than you think in the sense that he doesn't believe in American hegemony. He doesn't want the United States to be insanely powerful because he doesn't approve of their behavior around the world.
Right.
And he's been vocal about that. It's really fucking, it's like, dude, you live here, you made a lot of money in this country. But that's what he says. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? It's like LeBron James sitting down for the national anthem. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think LeBron James is an agent provocateur and a controlled opposition guy. He has a tattoo of the Boule, which is a secret society, on his chest. So he's 100% involved in that.
Don't do that because we did it last episode and it's true.
Well, he makes money. He makes a lot of money. He's made $1 billion off the American system. So you're welcome, LeBron.
My problem with George Soros is that he you know, the notion that he's just, I'm just trying to make money. Listen, he's a guy who sets a fire that collects the insurance on it. That's my opinion. Mm. He does a lot of that. He's doing it with these DAs. He's destabilizing the country right now. And he's a giant part of that. He is funding these extremist DAs who are, listen, I watched this video, man. I would love to send it to you. You'll never watch it or you'll get 5 minutes into it and be like, turn it off. But it really is this whole thing, these bankers at the highest levels, and that's not code for anything, Brian. And it's just like, and what they do is it's pressure from above, pressure from below. There's a very famous case in this video where one of these very high up in the college communist movement, well, he fucking decides he's going to testify in front of court about what's in Congress about what's going on. And he's basically like, we have billionaires funding these movements. And it's some called pressure from above, pressure from below. Mm-hmm. And what they're basically doing is they're causing economic chaos here. And then they're funding this kind of just complete and utter disturbance from below.
But what if
that? And so the end result, Brian, is that? Let me tell you, they want one world government and they want martial law. And if you watch what's going on right now in the States with nobody getting arrested, people acting a fool in public, that is all demoralization.
So I will say this. Here's where we differ. I'll say that people who have a lot of money, like whoever they might be, some people have crazy money, right? Whether it's Elon Musk, whether it's George Soros, whether it's Bill Gates, I think what happens is they get this money, like as a human being, and you go, I gotta do something with this money. Like I gotta change the world in my view, in my image. And you're gonna do things with your power. And my feeling is the road to hell is always paved with good intentions. I don't think that these are evil people. I think these are people that want to make an impact on the world so that they go down in history as the person that built this,
right,
or did this.
Right.
That's what kings do.
Right.
And so I think, though, again, it's like we have to be very careful of rule by man, not rule by law, because man is flawed and man will try to remake history and the world in his image. And that is not usually a good thing, right?
Brian, what you're talking about.
So just really quickly, with the Iraq War, the people in power at that time wanted to restructure the Middle East. They didn't know anything about the Middle East. They didn't know anything about the Middle East. They had the hubris, the arrogance to think we can restructure the Middle East. We can usher in regime change bring democracy to all these countries. And I'll go down in history as the guy that did that. And it was fucking hubris. Right. It was just arrogance.
Right. Brian, here's where I disagree with you, okay? What you think is there's a motive of money and power. And like, and I sit there and I watch a lot of the political talk, especially a lot by people I love, and they're always breaking it down into money and power, money yes. and power. The people want more money and they want more power, even though they have all the power in the world, that we just saw them shut down the world just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they print money. So they have all the money, they have all the power. What most of these talking heads, whether they're on television or they're on the internet, they never bring in spirituality. And it's God versus fallen angels. And this is where Soros is under that. It's this all fallen angel shit, dude.
But what about
this?
It's
a war against spirituality, a war against God's creation. And that is it. And
but Sam, what about the idea that it's money, power, but it's also legacy? Like, in other words, it's also like, I want to make the world. See,
yeah, but Brian, the problem I have with your statement is that when you tend to look at the children of these people, they tend to be giant fuck ups. They tend to fall completely far.
That's what money
the apples
does.
Fall far from the tree.
What,
so there's the their legacy
isn't that
is
what
shot.
Billions of dollars.
I mean,
does?
Look at the Bush legacy. You had a Bush run in Texas. He lost. He's running for like librarian in Dallas, but, and he couldn't even win that.
But that's kind of what happens to a human being when they
the
never
Bush
flew,
legacy
when
is
they,
dead.
Well, I have a joke about this. If your kid never flew commercially, you should be arrested for child abuse because it doesn't work out for them,
right?
And so when you have nothing to struggle against, it's like, you better be careful.
Brian,
right?
It is God versus fallen angels. Well, I'm just telling you the highest level.
Okay, but what about this?
It's all secret societies.
I think the world
one of the Abrahamic religions have been corrupted by fallen angels.
Okay, but so in Kings 1 and 2 in the Old Testament, the entire story is about fallen kings. It's about the kings of Israel that completely fucked up.
Yep.
And Israel split into two tribes.
Yep.
The 10 tribes in the north were Israel. The two tribes in the south were Judah. And it was a civil war on a level that went on for hundreds of years in Israel. And they were just a completely divided people. And the reason was that the kings in the north and the kings in the south forgot God's laws.
Yep.
And they were ruling basically on as basically what? Because of money and power.
Fallen gods. And they were sacrificing children. They were doing all that stuff.
All that stuff. So
Moloch, bro.
But that still goes on. So a lot of people can be kings thinking they are doing good. But if you don't have, if you're not beholden to, you know, higher truths, you will fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're bringing it back to sort of the old biblical lessons. But the book of Kings 1 and 2 is the story of how fucking, how bad these kings were.
Yeah.
And because why? All of them did what they thought was right in their own eyes, not in the eyes of the Lord. That was the big lesson of that section of the Bible. So once again, this is Bible Study with Brian and Sam.
Hey dude, listen to me. This is the most important of all the conversations. We could talk to her blue in the face about geopolitical bullshit, but in reality, it is all secret societies who worship dark arts that have had a hidden hand in just the chaos that we live in.
But I'm going to leave you with a thought, because you've been breaking it down into God versus non-gods. Okay.
Gods versus little g's.
But my problem with that now is that you're dealing in a very dualistic world, Sam. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little metaphor to think about, okay? And I want you to write this down.
Yes.
What's the difference between a villain and a hero? When the villain comes in and kills the 8-year-old boy's family, and he takes a knife and he marks him, and he goes, "You'll remember something to remember me by." The villain, the hero, when he gets that cut and he's lost his family, says, "The world hurt me, and I'm going to make sure that the world never hurts anyone else." The villain says, "The world hurt me, and now I'm going to hurt the world." So we know what a villain is.
Yeah.
The problem with that is the hero now says, "I'm going to go kill bad guys. I'm going to stop bad guys like that from doing that to another 8-year-old boy."
Yeah.
So he launches onto a campaign and he wages the good war. Problem is, like all good wars, there's a kid over there who gets his family killed. And now he says, the world hurt me and I'm going to make sure the world never hurts anybody else. Now you have heroes fighting heroes. Now the Vedanta, the Vedas, the Upanishad, the Gita would say, as long as you live in this dualistic world, we will always have conflict and war. Because good people exist on both sides, and good people do terrible things in the name of the good they believe in. And until we realize that all of this is an illusion, and that until you get in touch with your universal self, your soul, and you realize that we're all connected and we're all one, and you stop this dualistic thinking, we will never have peace. And that is the contribution of the Himalayan sages. That is the contribution of Dzogchen meditation. That's the contribution of the Vedanta. The Vedanta means the end of knowledge. And if you guys want to change your life, you might want to read the Vedanta treatise. Take your time with it. Read 3 pages at a time. And as the Vedanta says, one minute of reflection is worth 100,000 hours of reading. Reflection. The people you read that really make a difference, the people that make a difference in history, didn't get their knowledge from books. They got their knowledge by sitting and thinking and coming up with their own original ideas. I leave that with you guys. I'm going to be in and out of this show. Dylan's going to be holding court with Sam. I'm going to be running around a lot. I'm very, very busy, but I can't walk away from this show because I love doing it too much. So if I'm not here sometimes, forgive me, but I'm probably somewhere contemplating the Vedanta and
watching interracial porn
and getting even closer to God, as if that's even possible, because I know you guys can feel me vibrating right now. And remember this, this show is dualistic. There is truth on this side and there is folly on that side. And until he sits at my feet, and that includes you, Dylan, and you listen to me, and you listen to
we're
me.
All wearing Adidas. How crazy. That's good for Adidas, huh? So anyways, guys, Brian, thank you for your serious voice you did for the last 5 minutes.
You're so right. You're so welcome, everybody.
Yeah, Brian really wants you to know that he's getting deep, he talks in a whisper.
I bring it down.
Yeah, he brings it down. Really brings you in. Yeah. Thank you, theater kid.
I bring it way down.
Guys, this is the last episode of the year. We're very thankful that you guys have joined us. I don't know how long the show's been going on. It's been going on a while. Brian is going to be in and out. Dylan, based on the reception that he got last year, we'll be sitting in and crushing it and having a good time. The show will go on. We are getting shadow banned pretty bad on YouTube. I mean, it is unbelievable. So we're going to try to do some stuff on Rumble. If you like the show, tell your friends about it. It's like a very unique show. The show is meant to be a debate show. You don't really see that anywhere else where it's usually guests come on to debate. So that's the show. We like to debate stuff. Brian is really busy watching interracial pornography, so he can't make it every day, but he will make it as often as he can, hopefully.
Fuck yeah.
If not, Dylan will do a great job. It's probably a better conversation, but that's okay. So I love you all. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show, saying the nicest things. You know, for a show that gets 10,000 views on Instagram, I mean on YouTube, we get an insane amount of comments. Shows that get like 50, 60,000 views get the same amount of comments. So obviously they're shadow banning us. We love you very much. Thank you. Final thoughts? Anything?
Final thoughts. Happy holidays. I just appreciate you guys and I love doing this, and happy holidays. And
we'll see you in the new year, everybody. Love you much.
Love you guys. Love you, Brian.
Love you too, buddy.
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes.
Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic.
I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell.
Chicken snake gods and the Anunnaki and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing.
Conspiracy Social Club, aka Deep Waters. Deep Waters. Deep Waters. Deep Waters.